aged as some of us in this room, who had a heart attack. She was on the operating table, and she felt the lights fade. She felt the lights fade and the sounds fade, and she felt herself lifted up out of her body. She thought, oh my God, is it my time? Is it my time to go? And she heard a voice say, no, it's not your time to go. You have 42 more years. Go live it up. So with that, she went back into her body, and the voice and those words comforted her over her recuperation process. And she decided she was going to make some changes. She decided that the next 42 years of her life were going to be the happiest of her life ever. So she decided to make some decisions, you know, make some different changes, like I said. So she had liposuction. She had a tummy tuck. Over the course of the next 6 months, she had breast augmentation. She had her teeth bleached. She had her hair dyed. She even had a facelift. And as she was walking out of the last procedure, she was cleared to go. She stepped out, and she felt like a brand new woman. She stepped out into a brand new day. She was meeting a friend for lunch, and she was super excited. So as she stepped out into the traffic of life, bam, a car hit her and killed her. Bewildered and dead, she arrived at the pearly gates, kind of a little pissed. God, you know, you told me I had 42 more years. That was 6 months. Why didn't you save me from that car? And God said, I would have. I just didn't recognize you. Am I the only one in this room who has ever woken up and not recognized themselves? Maybe not recognized the life that you're living? Maybe this isn't the life you thought you would live? I think it's easy for us to take a look around us and, you know, look around yourself in this room. We're surrounded by amazing, confident, gorgeous women. It's easy for us to look outside and recognize that into someone else. The thing I find most challenging is this precious thing I have been given, this precious gift of life, this unique personality that I showed up with. This body, this vehicle for me to get around with, this whole package called me, is sometimes the hardest thing for me to accept, and it's the hardest thing for me to appreciate, and the hardest thing for me to love. If I could take all of us back in a time machine, I would program us to show up 16 years ago, 1998. And what we would find there would be kind of a dark place in my life. And to illustrate what you would find, I'll show you a scale of self-value. So if the scale goes from 1 to 10, 1 being, I freaking rock. I'm here to bless this planet with everything that I've got. I don't care if I have mismatched socks or not. I'm here. And 10 being down here, where I'm apologizing for who I am and for what I do. Everybody else's priorities are more important than me. Everybody else's agenda is more important than my agenda. What we would find in that time machine would be that I would be way down at the bottom of that scale. And in fact, any other overachievers in the room, I would be like a 15. I did it well, really well. I was lucky enough to have a master teacher that helped me go from a 15 all the way up to a 1. My children have been amazing teachers in my life. I have 3 of them. They've been wonderful, but they weren't my master teachers. And 15 and 16 years ago, back in that life that I didn't recognize, I had several high-powered corporate jobs with IBM I was part of amazing leadership teams, and I had fabulous, fabulous mentors. But my master teacher didn't come from that area of my life. This master teacher was able to help me see who I was and who I wasn't. They were able to help me force me to make choices that were good for me. This master teacher could push my buttons like nobody's business, because this master teacher was my ex-husband. And through the unraveling of that process of our relationship breaking down, our lives breaking down, it almost felt like life was throwing me a hammer. So the first hammer that came was my divorce was final. Our youngest child was born a month after that divorce was final. How to be, you know, great, you get to be a single parent. So then the next hammer was, you get to also be the only provider for you and for your kids. And then the next hammer being that you're the father of your children went MIA, missing. So the only person to pay off the debt that we shared was me. Hammer after hammer came. And it was a very lonely, dark place, very painful process. Through that process, though, I learned how to bring myself up from a 15 to a 1. And today, my life is completely different. It's awesome and amazing. I'm so blessed that I can't even fathom it sometimes. It's just incredible. So I'm always scanning the environment for improvements, as good as that is. And I'm sure you're here, so I'm sure that you're also interested in change, positive change for your life, because you know that when you change in a positive way, that shows up in your business as well. So how many of you would think that if I could give you a raise, would you guys be willing to accept a raise? Everybody okay? Pretty unanimous? Okay, great. Well, I do not have Vanna White coming out from behind the screen with a cash machine to just give you cash and let's load us up. But I do have something that's even more valuable than that. I have something that's more valuable than money to give you, something that's more valuable than gold, something that's more valuable than any salary increase you could have, any benefits package that you could have. And what it is it's how to give yourself a raise. It's how to give yourself a raise. No one else can do this for you. You can't, Jim Rohn says, you can't pay someone to do your push-ups. You can't pay someone to give yourself a raise in self-value. So how do we go about that? How do you go about giving yourself a raise? Well, the first thing is you embody a one. You embody a one. How do you do that? Well, you start with your posture. You start with the way you're standing. And I'm going to actually ask you guys to stand up out of your seats and play along with me if you're willing. So first I'm going to have you... First I'm going to have you experience what is not a power pose, okay? So a low power pose is anything that compresses your body. And so you could try it like this is a low power pose. This is a low power pose. Put yourself in a low power pose and feel that. Feel that. And you almost feel like your energy in your body is like decreasing or shutting off. Okay, stand back up and like shake that off. That's nasty stuff. That keeps you down here in a 15. We don't want that. So a high power pose is a pose that's expansive. So like if you were at your desk and you're kicking back in your chair with your arms up, with your feet on your desk, that is a high power pose. If you're celebrating something that's amazing that just happened to you, that is a high power pose. So today I'm just going to have you pretend like you're Wonder Woman. That's a high power pose. So you got your hands on your hips, your feet are like hip width apart, shoulders back, chest up, head back. What we're doing right now is what Amy Cuddy describes in her TED Talk, which is she talks about power poses. And what we're doing is 2 minutes like this at the beginning of your day, 2 minutes can change the way people perceive you. They'll perceive you as more confident. It changes the way you perceive yourself. you perceive yourself as more confident and competent. And so what's happening right now is your testosterone is increasing. And don't worry, we're not going to grow facial hair or anything like that. It's just enough testosterone to give you the hormone, your hormones going, so you take action, make things happen, have the confidence that you can do that. Your cortisol right now is decreasing, and the cortisol is the stress hormone. So it's the hormone that you associate with anxiousness and stress and those lower 15 level kind of things. So thank you guys for playing with me. You guys can sit back down. Good job. So we have our power pose on, our body language. We're inhabiting our body. That's the first of three things that I want to show you. The second thing is choices. So when you change your body, it's been proven when you change your body, you change your thoughts. When you change your thoughts, you change your choices. And when you change your choices, you get different outcomes. So we have started with the power pose. We've got that going on. Now we're going to move into choices. So when you come to choices, it's important for you to be self-aware, really self-aware. So in this, you'll see experts saying, if you could just do this, this is my program. I'm going to, show you how to do. There's no one program that fits everybody else. There's this concept of bioindividuality, which says that each person is so completely unique with their genetic structure, completely unique with what they put into their bodies. They're completely unique with their environment. No way that any one thing works for a person. So that means it's up to us. It's up to you to know what's good for you. And we don't want to let our brains tell us we already know that, because chances are we don't. Who's familiar with Dr. Christian Northrup? Anybody heard? Yes. She, if you are not familiar with her, she is a very famous women's physician. She's authored many, many books. And I heard her speak when she was in her 50s. And in her 50s, she admitted she didn't know what her favorite color was. She had made all of these accomplishments, but she hadn't turned that self-awareness onto herself. So these talents that we have as women of being able to tune into like those people we care about most, we kind of can sense what it is that will, the conditions that are ripe for the people that we care about, what their preferences are. We just kind of get that. We notice that. We can take that same skill and turn it around towards ourselves. And when we do that, then we understand what choices to make. We understand what choices give us power, and we understand what choices take power away. So whenever we're in any kind of situation, whether it's like 1 a.m. and you're looking at Facebook, when you're faced with the decision, what should I do? This is the question that I want you to ask. What would I do if I really, really loved myself? And that answer is going to be different for every person. So for me, on vacation one time, what would I do if I really loved myself? Look like flying on a trapeze. It was like the coolest experience. For me to recharge, I'm an introvert, so I'm going to go recharge by myself. Somebody who's an extrovert, they're going to have to choose something different. Someone who's not a physical person on vacation is going to choose something different. We got to own that. So the question to ask yourself, what would I do if I really, really loved myself? So just so I know that you have this, could you please repeat that with me? What would I do if I really, really loved myself? Great. You guys are awesome. Thank you. So we've got the body. We're empowering, we're embodying this power, this level one. We've got this choice. We know which choices we're going to make. We're going to focus that awareness on us. The last thing is kind of the hardest thing, especially in the area that we live in. This is, if we turn this scale of priority, or this scale of self-value also into a scale of priorities, putting yourself first above everyone else, will make sure that you stay at that level. that you'll be first in your life. When you, it's not a selfish thing to be first. It's self-full. And whenever you put yourself first and you're nourishing yourself at the highest levels, you're nourishing yourself with people that you love and that they love you. You're nourishing yourself with amazing food, with experiences. You are going to be able to support life and those around you at such amazing levels. It's just incredible. It's incredible. So the more you give to yourself, the more that you can give to someone else. So embodying, what's the question we're going to ask? Excellent. And who are we going to put first?
Ourselves.
Awesome. Okay. So I've got one last story to share with you before I close up. And this is about the golden statue. So in Thailand, hundreds and hundreds of years ago, there was a golden statue. It was an enormous golden statue, solid gold. If we were to value it today, it was estimated to be worth $250 million. That's uncomprehendable to me. And in that village, many, many years ago, word came to tell them that there was an army from a neighboring land that was coming to invade. So everybody in the village devised this plan to protect the golden statue. So they piled layers and layers and layers of clay on top of this statue. And when they were finished, it looked as if it were made of stone. And their plan worked. The army passed by. They recognized no value in the statue. But legend has it, everybody in the village was wiped out. And with them, the knowledge and awareness of what the statue really was. And we're like that golden statue. You know, we come into this life masterpieces. We are masterful works of art. We are amazing, unique creations. Of the divine. We are Renoirs, we're Michelangelos, we are just so unique. And then when we start integrating into our families, into our culture, into our schools, into our jobs, into friends, into society, we learn there are pieces of us that aren't quite acceptable. And so for those pieces, we kind of hide them. We pat just a little bit of clay on there. And as we go through life, year after year, clay after clay, person after person, we end up covering ourselves to the point where we don't recognize ourselves. And sometimes nobody else recognizes our value. So how, you might be thinking, you know, how in the world do we even know about this golden statue if it was covered in clay and, you know, their plan worked? Well, in the 1950s, a decision was made to move the statue. And when they were moving it, parts of the clay fell off. And they could see that there was gold underneath. So they took hammers and everything and chisels and pulled away all the clay to reveal this enormous solid gold statue. Life's like that. Life throws us hammers. Life throws up, it might be a heart attack. It might be a breakup of relationship. It might be a financial crisis. Who knows what your hammer is going to look like? What you've got to know is that hammer is not there to beat you down. The hammer is not there to beat you down to a level 15. The hammer is there so you can break away and chip away all that clay. Everything that's covering you from being the real you. So as you go back out into your day today, and as you step back into the traffic of your life, the meetings, the people, the responsibilities, everything, make sure that you're embodying who you are at a high level. You know who you are. Make sure that you're making decisions that are in alignment with who you are. Make sure you're putting yourself first. Because when you cross that traffic, we want to be able to recognize you. Thank you.
Ask Christy.